I think that a criminal investigation into the Federal Reserve, and specifically into comments that the chair made in his testimony to Congress about the upgrades that were happening in the building that houses the Federal Reserve, has been quite shocking.
Heather Boucher is a former member of the White House Council of Economic Advisers under Joe Biden. She's a professor now at the University of Pennsylvania and a senior research fellow at the Reimagining the Economy project at the Harvard Kennedy School.
I found it so shocking that the president has gone after Jay Powell in this way. It so undermines some of the very foundations of the stability of the economic growth model in the middle for the United States that has benefited us, you know, for so long.
So let's back up a bit and remind people of some of the basics, some of the things that you and I did talk about last year. Jerome Powell is the chair of the Federal Reserve, essentially the top person at the U.S. Central Bank, which as a body collectively sets interest rates. They're not done by the politicians. They are done by this independent central bank. The battle, as we understand it essentially, Heather, is that Donald Trump wants lower interest rates. He's wanted them since he came back into office. That way, Americans are paying less out each month on mortgages, on home loans and so on, have more money to spend, feel better. Jerome Powell and his colleagues have cut interest rates, in fact, three times since last summer. Given all that, why is Donald Trump still unhappy with the chair of the Federal Reserve or the Fed?
Well, I think there's two things here. So one, the president is facing an affordability crisis. He's finally acknowledging it.
In the coming weeks, I will be laying out even more plans to help bring back affordability. And again, remember, that's a fake word by Democrats. Prices were too high. They caused the high price. They never want to talk about affordability. They always go, this is an election about affordability. I say, they caused it.
And the president has taken so many steps that have made this problem worse through a misguided tax policy that has given massive tax cuts to America's richest at the expense of cutting health care, and that is leading to the closure of hospitals across the United States. It's going to be raising health care costs for millions of Americans. There's debate going on right now here in the United States about subsidies for millions of American families for health care. Those do not appear to be going anywhere in Congress, so those health care costs are going to go up. There's been a longstanding challenge with housing affordability. This is coming out of the Great Recession. And the president would like to see lower interest rates. He'd like to see more homes built. But, you know, the thing about what he's been doing is that his chaotic economic policy from the White House has meant that even when the Fed has lowered rates, we haven't seen the mortgage rates come down as low as one might expect. And then, of course, you know, his tariff policy, which has been chaotically implemented from the beginning and not paired with any sensible domestic industrial strategy. All of this is to say that, you know, he wants to see prices come down. He wants to see the prices of mortgages come down. But all of his actions are pushing in the wrong direction. So he's a toddler throwing a temper tantrum and blaming Jay Powell.
We have a bad Fed chairman. He's bad in a lot of different ways, but he's bad because his interest rates were too high. And today we had a great inflation report. And today we had a really great growth report. So we have great growth and low inflation. And we're doing very well.
Do you think there's going to be a rate cut, though?
I don't know. With this guy, you don't know. He's got some problems. But
these are the reasons that the president concretely is going after the Fed. I think there's also a host of reasons just about the fact that the president would like to control this very important institution.
And so far, the argument between the president and the chair of the Fed hasn't been conducted quite in the terms you've been setting out. It's not as if they're having an overt macroeconomic argument. Instead, it's kind of been a proxy battle about, of all things, the renovation of a building.
The investigation has to do with cost overruns to renovate the Fed's century-old headquarters.
Prosecutors alleging Powell lied to Congress while testifying last June about the cost of the renovation.
He's renovating a small building. It's the most expensive construction job in history, and it's only a renovation. I could have done that job for $25 million. They're spending billions and billions of dollars. He either doesn't know what he's doing, or it's worse than that.
When you and I spoke last year, Jay Powell had sort of held his ground while the two of them were there in hard hats at the construction site because they're, upgrading the physical building of the Federal Reserve. That indeed has been what the news we now have, that the Department of Justice is investigating him over this building. Just on this proxy issue, what exactly is the investigation looking at? What's the abuse that Chair Powell is accused of?
So it's an old building and it needed to be renovated. And in the original estimate for the renovations, there were marble features and other features. And he was accused of malfeasance in terms of how he's spending government resources. It is laughable at a moment where the president himself just bulldozed a significant portion of the White House without any approval from the Historical Society. Jay Powell's term is up in May. And no matter what, he personally was not going to benefit long term from whether or not there was a marble finish on some part of this building, right? The idea that this was about him personally rather than about the United States and creating this workspace for, all of the people that work there is also just often gets lost in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, the sums of money are kind of eye-popping. The original budget was $1.9 billion. It's now gone over to over $2 billion to around $2.5 billion. I mean, extraordinary sums of money for a building. But as you've explained, it is a historic one that can't just be done in any way on the cheap. But the investigation is there, as we've been saying. In a way, it's a proxy. But what's interesting is Jay Powell himself didn't just sort of take it. He has responded to the launch of this investigation almost immediately. And central bankers are often quite sort of guarded and gnomic figures who don't make public pronouncements. But he came back fighting. What's been his response, Heather?
We're getting on Oscar time here in the United States. And so we were watching movies, sort of anticipating, what's going to be up for an Oscar. So we're sort of watching this foreign film Sunday night. And I pick up my phone and I see that Chair Powell has released a video. I'm like, what is this? This is obviously big news. You got to pause the movie and write.
I have served at the Federal Reserve under four administrations, Republicans and Democrats alike. In every case, I have carried out my duties without political fear or favor, focused solely on our mandate of price stability and maximum employment.
It was stunning to see him in the very careful language of a chair of the Federal Reserve lay out how this was in no uncertain terms about the president going after him about monetary policy.
I have deep respect for the rule of law and for accountability in our democracy. No one, certainly not the chair of the Federal Reserve, is above the law. But this unprecedented action should be seen in the broader context of the administration's threats and ongoing pressure.
It showed just a clarity of purpose and a strength of character that he was willing to stand up to the president and call it like he saw it and wanted to continue to serve the public in the best way that he thought, and that would be to continue to do monetary policy based on data and evidence.
Public service sometimes requires standing firm in the face of threats. I will continue to do the job the Senate confirmed me to do, with integrity and a commitment to serving the American people.
And what was interesting next was what followed this message of solidarity that suddenly every living former head of the Federal Reserve condemned the investigation, central bank governors from across the world issuing and signing a joint statement expressing full solidarity with Powell. I mean, solidarity is, again, not the language you normally hear from central bankers. That's usually from sort of protesters on the barricades. And then the head of JP Morgan, the largest US bank, also warning against these attacks. Now, why is it? What's the principle that all these people understand is in peril here? Why are they all so quick to stand shoulder to shoulder with Powell in this moment?
The U.S. Federal Reserve led the world in really establishing the importance of having a Federal Reserve grounded in data and evidence. And it's been, I think, important for central banks around the world to be able to stand together. They needed to, make sure that they were arms linked against any political pressure. Every central banker knows that the cycles of an economy don't magically follow the cycles of politics. So it may be that maybe you need to change interest rates in a way that'll be unpalatable right before an election, but that's really what's going to deliver the better economy 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road. You just have to do it. There's real importance that those decisions are made in a way that is not about rewarding the politician's best friend, but that are about what is in the best interest of the economy. So it is very important to keep politics out of central banking. I think that's why so many people have stood up for it.
Yeah, and there are signs that perhaps the backlash has caught the administration by surprise. Donald Trump has denied having anything to do with this investigation, which is often a sign. The question I want to ask is whether you think this move has actually backfired on the Trump administration. We notice the Republicans, some of them are trying to distance themselves.
You know, for a party that tends to stick together, it is notable how many members of the GOP immediately expressed their deep discomfort with this new investigation. They said it could compromise the independence of the Federal Reserve, or that it could rattle the stock market. One even accused the Trump administration of coercion.
I just wonder if this has caught them by surprise, the reaction to it, and whether it actually has undermined, it's been counterproductive for Donald Trump in the sense that now it could have an impact on his chair for Jay Powell's successor, because there's going to be this sense of the political independence having been compromised. So I just wonder if they sort of went into this without thinking it all through properly.
My perspective right now, I feel, is very influenced by living in Washington, D.C. and seeing what's been happening over the past year, and particularly over the past few weeks. I mean, President Trump is pushing all the boundaries right now. He is pushing the limits of our democracy. The actions that he has taken indicate that he believes that his power is unlimited. I do not get the impression that he believes in any way, shape, or form that he is overstepped. I think that he continues to believe that the world needs to bend to his will. It has been a bit of a relief to see some Republicans who are actually in elected office say that they might stand up to Trump if they have to. We'll see when the time comes. My worry is that it works in the other direction, that this president is pushing the boundaries of what the institutions can really take.
Now, there is every chance that not every American is paying close attention to what's happening with the chair of the Federal Reserve. But the one thing they do know about is the prices. And they can see that prices are increasing despite what the president might be telling them. More on that after the break.